This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Songs with. Songs with.
Ones we can depend on.
Songs with.
How many of us have them?
Songs with.
Before we go any further.
Songs with.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome to Songs with Friends, episode 20, here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. My name is Steve Williams, and joining me once again is Kelly. Kelly, how are you now?
I feel like I should have a better answer. I'm good. I got a massage today, so.
Well, hot damn.
I feel happy. Mm-hmm.
Kelly getting that big-time Hollywood action now that we're in the 20s here on Songs with Friends.
It was a Christmas present, so I was like, got to get that. It's almost been 2 months since Christmas, about, or 6 weeks, so finally went.
Yeah, I did not get a massage today. I drove around looking for a burrito that would fulfill my hunger and was left unsatisfied.
Oh, you didn't find a good one?
No, listeners, I went to the local hipster hotspot for burritos in the greater Louisville area. And when I got there, I saw they got a B on their last health inspection. So I just turned around and walked my happy ass back into the car and drove away.
I cannot get over this.
I ended up just going to some random ass, that's not even fair to say. Here in Oldham County, Kentucky, there's one guy who owns like 8 restaurants, and 2 of them have the same name. So I went to one of those.
So you could Google it and figure it out.
Yeah, it's a burrito I've had before. It's okay. Nothing special.
Oh, is it I dare not say Chipotle, but it's like one of those kind of burritos, or it's more like a Mexican food burrito?
Oh, it was Mexican food burrito with everything on top and a tomato slice and all that shit.
Not a
real big fan of that whole setup, but it is what it is. I'm more of a Mission-style burrito guy, and you cannot get those out here.
Yeah. I was pretty shocked about that health rating thing when you said that. I don't know that we even have those posted in Texas. I'm going to have to check that out because I don't know. I'm sure they're in the restaurant, but I definitely don't. I've never noticed that. I just kind of, you know, you hear on the news or something, oh, they went in there, don't go to that place. And then I'm like, I won't go there. But
all right. Here it's a color-coded system. It's a sheet of paper on the door or the window. An A is a green for go. B is a blue. Or bitch, you better think about it. But C is red, which, you know, stop. You know, are you sure you want to do this? But they're allowed to stay open on a C.
Okay.
So a couple years back, God, this may be 10 years ago now, there was a restaurant that actually incorporated that into their decorations to try to blend in.
Oh, my gosh.
So because it's in Louisville, they did several other red letters and made it say, go Cards.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a little sleight of hand, but it works, I guess.
That's funny. It's pretty cool. I don't know. I just feel like where I live, I know there's not, I guess there is a lot of restaurants, but I just know places that I won't go to for whatever reason, and then there's ones I go to. So I'm sure it's, but you never know any day what's going on inside those places. So
absolutely. All right, gang, here on Songs with Friends, we review song lyrics line by line by damn line. And our first song this week is from the 2018 movie A Star is Born. This is Shallow by Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. This was Kelly's pick. Kelly, why did you bring this before us?
Well, because I saw the movie, and I think everybody needs to see it. It was really good, and I'm not just saying. Like, I hadn't even really... I had never seen the other ones, so I guess I went in a little bit more. Some of the people I went to the movie with were like, they'd seen it done by other actresses or whatever, and I just had never seen it. I didn't know what it was about, and good gosh, I cried from like 15 minutes on to the end almost, but it was like happy and sad, you know what I mean? I thought it was a really touching movie, and I don't know. I know you haven't seen it, right?
So is this like a remake or is it just a basic retelling?
Yeah. No, I think it's like a well, I think the premise, I guess we get to, I mean, the premise of the movie, I think, is the same in all of them. Like, you know, he's famous, he's a singer, he finds her and she's not, but she's talented, and he kind of helps her blossom, but he's an alcoholic, and you know, this kind of thing. So it's but I think that's probably what they're all about. I don't really know. You've never seen any of them?
No, I just looked this up. Thanks, Wikipedia.
Yes. Don't. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I'm not gonna say it. Go ahead.
The original was 1937.
Oh wow.
Then a 1954 musical, a 1976 musical, and a 2013 Bollywood adaptation.
Oh, so there's a lot.
Yeah, there's a rich history of A Star Is Born.
But is it the same? Does it say, you probably don't know. I mean, I would think it's probably all the same premise of the movie.
Yes, it's not four presentations with the same title. It's the same story, essentially the same movie, just recycled. Yeah.
And not that we're a movie podcast, but I went, okay, so I went with all of my employees, actually. So it's really awkward because, like, I'm thinking the two of them that had to sit next to me as soon as I started crying, I'm sure they were like, oh my God. Like, one of them kept kind of like, are you okay? Cause I really was like touched by this movie a lot. I was like, I'm fine. And then my, like two of my employees, one of them was like, she texted me when she got home. She's like, I got my car cried for 20 minutes. And then another one, we all, like, everybody did cry and was like really touched by it for whatever reason. But part of the story is kind of fucked up and sad, but it's, you know, that's love and life. So anyways,
I thought you were going to say it was awkward in the same way that it's awkward when you're watching a movie at home with your parents and a sex scene comes on.
That's awkward. It wasn't.
And Dad rushes up to fast forward the VHS real quick.
I honestly didn't probably feel awkward because I've had the same staff for like 6 years. I don't know. So I feel like we're very like, you know, we're very close and we do things, you know, but it probably was kind of awkward. No, it wasn't the same as that. I'd much rather sit with like people, my employees, and cry than watch a sex tape with my parents or a sex scene. That came out way wrong.
All right.
We're going to move on.
Yes. Let's dive into these lyrics, Kelly. Get us started.
Okay.
Here.
And we're going to say, and Steve probably kindly didn't point this out, this song is very short and there's not a lot to it. So I probably picked the wrong song from the soundtrack. There's a lot of songs on it, though, that I like. So anyways, we start out, and this first part is Bradley Cooper, which I'm going to say, I think the band can sing. Like, I was pretty impressed by that. What do you think?
Yeah,
not really? I mean,
yeah, he did well enough. It's not like you need a very wide range to pull this song off. But,
oh, well, you were in advanced choir, so...
Oh, let's not trudge that up. All right, quick sidebar on that, since the song is so short. I don't know that I've said this on the air. Apparently not, because the Steve was an advanced choir guy thing was not well known. All right, I auditioned for that at the end of 10th grade, and I actually had a pretty good voice at the time, just enough to get to the advanced choir. However, over that summer, my voice dropped some more to the point where I couldn't hit those same notes. And I was shifted to a bass position, which was a lot more boring and just, you know, had to talk like this the whole time to get the songs down correctly. And, yeah, my voice hadn't dropped all the way yet, so I was struggling to go so low to hit the proper notes on bass. So, yeah, that sucked.
So you did it for 11th grade only?
Only 11th grade.
Okay. Was this for like a girl? Like, this is why you did that?
It was the infamous, I won't get into all that again, the first girlfriend that we detailed in the last show.
It's for her?
Yeah. She was a fantastic singer. And aww. I wanted to get closer to her. So she recommended I audition for this class. I did and got in. And over that summer, we started dating. And that was her bag. Like, she did that nonstop. So she did it again when we were seniors, and I did not. I just had no interest in... I think I knew we probably weren't going to last the long haul.
But it still went, like, 4 more years. No, I'm just kidding.
Not because that whole senior year was... that's when she was with that cowboy-looking motherfucker.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. Well, that is interesting. So just 11th grade.
Just 1 year. Like I said, I had the skill set when I auditioned, and the skill set disappeared over that summer.
So were you in band ever?
No. That okay. requires having to pay for an instrument, and my parents were not in any position to pay for any instruments.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I know. That is kind of crappy about band. I was in band in fifth grade, and I was horrible, and I didn't go on. So.
Now, in one of my music classes, we had to learn how to play a recorder.
Yeah.
You know, like a little bootleg-ass flute.
Yep. And I think that's mandatory across America in all elementary schools.
They kept those in the classroom. And like they just like kept them in a like a tub of
You didn't get yours back?
No. They were just like in a tub of like antiseptic fluid.
Oh.
Yeah, that's fucking disgusting.
Well, I remember we had like our own and like a little, you know, like yeah, that's wrong. Shame on Kentucky.
Yeah, we go to like the tub of mouthwash and pull a recorder out and shake it dry.
Oh, that's hilarious. I think we did it in third grade, but I don't know if fortunate's the right word, but like we didn't have money. But we went to a wealthy school district because my parents' house was like just on the right side of like a highway. And so we went to this school district. So it was like, we had a lot of things I thought that, I don't know, my parents maybe didn't have to pay for, but we had our own recorder. I remember that. Crazy.
Well, look at you, fancy pants.
No, not at all. A little bit. Just kidding. Okay. Well, let's start.
Yes.
The shortest song we've ever had on our show. So it starts out, and he says, tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for? So it's kind of made me think about, this is going to sound, oh my gosh, because you know me and my feminist ways. But I kind of take this like, you know, I think the world now, like sometimes men aren't as, and women, like I think as our roles are so much the same, that sometimes women, I mean, I think there's something in a woman, like you still want to be, Like me, for example, I don't need to be like financially taken care of, but I want to be with someone that maybe will like make decisions and can be assertive at times, or, you know, will man up, I guess is the right word. And I just think sometimes maybe those things are lost. And so I don't know, when I hear that modern world thing, I'm like, is he talking about that or just the way the world is moving fast? I don't know. But that was just kind of, oh, I got all kinds of thoughts there. What you got? Throw you off. You're like, I don't even know.
I'm legit. My first thought, are you happy in this modern world? I always think of a technology when people think of things as modern.
Uh-huh.
With us being so connected to phones and social media and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And like the dating now. You know, the kids are using the Tinder and whatnot, where you look at somebody, you decide, all right, do I want to move forward or do I want to just move on? It could take 2 seconds to make a decision, and a very hookup friendly culture as opposed to getting to know someone.
Yeah.
So like, are you happy with this single serve relationship, so to speak, or do you want something more? Are you looking for substance? Are you looking for long term?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and this just crossed my, I'm not calling anyone's Twitter out. I don't even know her name, but there's, you know, when you're friends with people on Twitter, then you see other people that you're not friends with, whatever. And there's a girl today that legitimately, like, she tweeted something like, oh, a hot guy that follows me messaged me, do I want to see his dick? And then she like had a kind of thing, and I thought, that's like very aggressive to be you know what I mean? And I was like, but that's the world now, you know what I mean? Like, she was obviously, it wasn't offensive, it was like, whatever, yeah, send it to me, you know, kind of thing. And I was like, wow, like, I don't know that I would post that, you know what I mean? But that is, it had like so many likes on it and these comments, because I was kind of fascinated by that. I was like, let me read this. And I thought, that's just wild to me. You know what I mean? But that is our world we live in today.
Right. Was the dick in the comments?
I didn't see it. No, she said that he asked if he could DM her his,
well,
you know.
Well, at least he asked first. That was polite.
No, and that was, let me explain this to you. That's the modern world we live in. That was about what half the comments were. That's very nice that he asked you before he sent it, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? But it was like, you know, in my mind, I was just really spinning of like, well, do you like this person? Do you not like, I don't know. It was just a weird thing to me. And maybe because I'm this person, she's probably in a whole different generation than I am. I don't really know how old she is, but Maybe she's 10 years younger than me, so I don't know. But to me, that was a little like, still like, wow. Like, I don't know that I'd post that, you know? So
now, our parents' generation, they had to wait by the mailbox for 3 days to see that dick.
Hey, I would have too in high school. We didn't have no cell phone.
Dude had to go. He had to take the picture, and then he had to go to Walgreens to get the film developed. He had to wait at least an hour to pick up the print, assuming it made it through their stringent standards of practices.
Yeah, because they probably censor it. They would not print it at Walgreens.
Now, they say that, but what they would do is they would print it, and it would go with in Julio's collection of dicks.
Yeah.
That didn't make it through standards of practices, but made it to his personal flip book. Stop. So then from there, you got to go to the post office, and you got to factor postage. Like, is it just one stamp? Is it a two-stamp cock? Who knows? Make sure you get the right envelope. You got to write "do not bend" on the envelope. Like, it's a whole fucking process. And you got to write very legibly and make sure you get it to the correct person.
Right, you don't want to get that to the wrong house.
You don't want the dick going to the orphanage next door.
Well, that's what I'm saying. In my day, you certainly did get them in the mail. You would ask some girl to go on a date, hang out, and then hope that she'd want to see it in person. But I don't know. It just struck me. It was very like, that's the world we live in. And it actually kind of made me feel sad for a second because I was like, I'm all about people feeling sexually empowered, whatever. But I was like, golly. Like, it just, I was like, I kind of felt old for a second, I guess. So
your old-fashioned value shining through.
Well, and I'm really probably am not as much as it seems, but okay. So then he says this part, he's like, I'm falling and all the good times I find myself longing for a change. And in the bad times, I fear myself. And I don't know it's just kind of hard. Like, I feel like a lot of times, this to me is like, you know, what it is, how I'm reading it is like change and what it means when you go through it. And I think sometimes people, you know, we just fear change, you know, like I was with the same person for a very, very long time in my life. And it took me a long time to not be just because it was scary, you know, and I think that that happens to a lot of people, you know, like you can fear things that aren't comfortable. And I feel like, you know, to me, that's what he's talking about. So what you got?
Yeah, this sounds like a very sad boy. It says, in all the good times, I find myself longing for change. Even when things are at their best, I'm not happy. And I need something more than what I have in my life at this time.
Yeah.
And in the bad times, I fear myself. You know, am I going... That sounds like someone who's having thoughts of self-harm to me.
Mm-hmm.
That or other ways of being self-destructive.
Well, you haven't seen the movie, so I really am hesitant to say anything. But yes, like, I don't want to ruin the movie for you. But he's an alcoholic, so it's like he obviously... bad alcoholic, you know, and it doesn't end good. So you're on the right track, I guess I would say.
Well, hot damn, how about that?
I know. How do you know this stuff? You Googled it.
I did not. Oh. Nor did I watch the 1937 version.
That's the version you're going to go back to?
Yes, of course. You go to the original to get the scoops.
Yeah. It's probably some actress we know that's like pretty famous, you know? Okay. And so, you know what I mean? Like, I can't think Judy Garland or something like that.
Or that
look
that,
it up.
Or that girl from Shawshank Redemption that flips her hair back and drives all the inmates wild.
Oh my gosh. I've only seen that movie like 5,000 times. So, okay. So then we got, she says, tell me something, boy. Well, Lady Gaga's singing now. So she says, tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired of trying to fill that void? Or do you need more? Ain't it hard keeping it so hardcore? And I mean, I think that's, you know, obviously with him, like in the movie, he's an alcoholic. It's crazy. I can't even, that's like a level of being with someone that I can't even fathom. But I was just thinking in general, the void for anybody. I mean, you, not just going to say guys, but you know, a lot of people when they're single or they haven't found someone or maybe they don't want to commit, it's like they're doing, you know, they sleep around or work too much or party too much or whatever. And so I just feel like she's pointing that out to him. It's like, is that enough for you? Or do you, you know, do you want something more? So.
Yeah. An alcoholic, you know, she's right on the money who are filling the void. Like there's something that substance is replacing. Some unhappiness that is unaddressed for sure. Ain't it hard keeping it so hardcore? It's kind of a silly juvenile thing to me. Because I think of, in my population I work with now, I work in a prison, and you see a lot of 30-year-old, 15-year-olds, for lack of a better way to explain it. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the kids you couldn't stand being around in high school, you know, they just never change.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, they're in the system, and they're still just like they were back then.
Yeah.
And they don't understand why things are getting better for them. I'm like, well, it's because you're still acting like a fucking moron. That's why, man.
Yeah.
You know, get your shit together.
You're still acting like you're 15, and yeah, no.
You know, not that I was ever the criminal type, but I could have seen myself kind of going down a similar route if not for the fact that I was able to get a good job pretty young. I started working in healthcare when I was 18, and I saw people who were from different environments, and I was exposed to people who were in better living situations. And I saw that, hey, you know, this doesn't have to be the way it is. You can do better with some tweaking. And thankfully, I was able to go a different route. But there are many people who I grew up with that are still in that same environment, and as a result, are still a very juvenile, now into their late 30s.
Yeah. Yeah, I could say the same. Kind of like those, like, super, like, I don't know. I don't want to say always, like, jock, but, like, you know, like, super cool guys in high school, and now they're, like, friends on Facebook, and they're just, like, still douchey and have nothing going on. It makes me feel nice and happy. It's so mean. Because it's like, you were such an asshole, and you don't deserve anything good. That's horrible.
No, shouldn't be that way. For me, it was the guys that listened to the more obscure rap back in the day. Now they're still walking around in their wife beater shirts, only now they're got their hat to the side and their fucking 44-ounce Polar Pop styrofoam cup in their backpack walking on the side of the road on the way from the methadone clinic.
Yeah, that's sad. I don't even know if I said this on here. I used to, when I was in junior high, there was this boy I had the biggest crush on. And he, like, never got his life together. You know, like, when we were in junior high, we didn't know how anybody was. But he was kind of like, I guess he probably was kind of a little bit of, like, a rough kid, but, you know, we were in 7th, 8th grade. What do I know? And then, I would have never, like, you know, went to a boy or anything. And when I was in junior high, and he, like, in high school, then he started, like, selling drugs and whatever. And, like, he killed himself, like, 6 months ago. And I was thinking, like, his whole life was, like, tortured. You know what I mean? Like, he never got out of that. Like, I remember one time, like, 12 years ago, he sent me a Facebook message bragging about, like, how he was the biggest drug dealer in our high school. And I was like, dude, we're 30. Like, what? Right. That I wouldn't tell anybody that. You know what I mean? And I was like, that's your hack. Like, you're still claiming that is cool. You know what I mean? And it was like his mindset just never changed. And, you know, he would be on Facebook asking people for stuff for his kids and then getting mad they wouldn't help him. And I'm just like, is this real life? You know what I mean? But that's just how he was. And, like, it's sad. It's horrible. He killed himself. Like, so many people were trashing him. But my little brother, like you, like, well, he's a fireman. He works with people with mental health. And he's like, something was wrong. You know what I mean? Like, he's just like, don't be, like, talking shit about him because something was off in his head and his mind. You know, he's like, it's sad. And, oh, no, it was just crazy. But a lot of people were on Facebook. You know how it is with high school stuff. Just saying mean stuff about him for doing that. And it was just, it's sad. I got us on a sad track. I need to change the subject.
I do want to expand on that a little bit.
Okay, good.
Think about those formative years, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade. You're really learning a lot about how interactions with people work at that age. And if you are getting by on being popular or good-looking and then charming your way in and out of situations, not having to face much consequence, you know, oftentimes those people will get on that path at that age, and unless something is there to change their path at some point, you know, that's just the way it is for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if there's, like, a life-changing event. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, oftentimes it will be having a kid at that age. Well, 15, 16 years old is not uncommon, you know, at least, you know, back in our parents' era, you know, to have a child. And what would happen is you get a lot of arrested development. You would just, whatever age you were when you had to assume the parent role, that is just what your mindset becomes.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like my parents in particular, my mom is still very much emotionally 16 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and my grandparents used to always tell, which I didn't really think my mom was like that so much, but I get that mentality. But when my mom would do something, because my mom was the same way, she got married to my dad when she was 16 and had my brother and my grandparents. Like, when my mom would do something like weird or silly when I was little, my pap would be like, I didn't get to finish raising her. You know, he's like, that's your fault, Brad, to my dad. Because he's like, it's like kind of true. You know what I mean? He would just be like, hey, you took her from me. I wasn't done. You know what I mean? And it's like, yeah. And that guy I was talking about in high school, as crazy as it sounds, like, his girlfriend got pregnant when we were in eighth grade and they had twins, but they didn't keep them. You know what I mean? But that's like a big thing to go through when you're in eighth grade. You know what I mean? You get someone pregnant and then you got to go through that adopt. I mean, it was crazy. You know what I mean? That was huge, you know? And I mean, yeah, when you get to be like more like a junior, senior, a lot of people are pregnant, you know? And I felt like that was normal. But in eighth grade, that was scandalous. You know, that was a lot. Everybody was like, what? You know, most of us hadn't even had a boyfriend or whatever. And they were having they were having twins. So it's kind of sad.
Very much so.
Yeah. So, okay. So then we have, and you know, she says something he had already said. So this is our last verse here. She says, I'm off the deep end, watch as I dive in. I'll never meet the ground. Crash through the surface where you can't hurt us. We're far from the shallow now. Then there's a lot more of the song that's nothing. But I have a lot of thoughts on this part. So I don't know if you want to go first. You want me to go first?
You go first.
You go first. Okay. I don't know. I kind of see this like, I was thinking about it in a couple different ways. I mean, first I was thinking like that falling in love feeling you have with someone, you know, where you just like, I don't know, that might not be exactly what they're meaning, but you feel like that just everything is going off the deep end. You're like, what the hell's going on? And it kind of made me think too, like when you're getting less than, like, you can know people very surface level and, you know, it's like an acquaintance or sort of a friend, but you know, like, I always like those conversations you have with people like after midnight, because you like get very like start saying shit and telling each other stuff that you wouldn't normally say during the day. So I feel like too, it could be getting to know someone in a deeper way. But when I watched this movie, and like, I know they're not in love in real life, but they were great. Like, they did so good. And I think there's like scenes in the movie where she's never like sung in front of people, and he makes her like come out to the stage, and she's like petrified, you know, but he like wholeheartedly believes in her. He's like, you're amazing. I want you to, he's like begging her to come out to the stage, and she comes out and she sings and people just respond to her, you know, and it kind of, and she looks shocked. You know what I mean? It's like, she didn't see like this, the way he saw her, you know, and it, and I just like that in the movie was very touching to me. And I always remember that, you know? So, anyways, just kind of made me think, because you asked me to do this show. I'll be honest, when you asked me, I was like, you're fucking nuts, because I did not want to do this. And I was like, why is he asking me? Because I could never do this, you know, but I did it because I was like, well, if he thinks I could do it, I could do it. You know what I mean? And so that meant a lot to me, but I was like super scared. Like, I still get it now, but like our first like 5 or 10 shows, I was like, I'm going to freaking throw up. Like, I was so nervous, you know, but when you have someone that's like, hey, yeah, you can do it, or they think you can do it, it's very empowering. So that's what I got there. So,
well, I'm glad I was able to help you discover your inner podcaster.
I didn't even know that was a thing. So, but I'm just saying, you know, so when I was like, why is he asking me? I don't fucking know. You know, and I was like, well, he must think I can do it. I can do it. So,
well, you're relatable, you're easy to talk to, and you love music.
That's true.
And when I had the idea for the show, the first thought that came to mind was that it has to be a female co-host. Okay, wait, Kelly's right there. Let's ask her.
She just happened. Was no special thing. No, I'm just kidding. Well, thank you.
Oh, anytime. So I'm off the deep end. Watch as I dive in. I'll never meet the ground. This whole shallow theme. We're far from the shallow now. It's not knowing the story of these two characters in this movie. This, you know, everything around to this point has been kind of hinting at, you know, everything you do in your life is surface. Are you ready for something deeper? And this feels like the point where they're all in on each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're far from the shallow now. We're no longer surface. We are now in this deep, me and you together. You know, the world can't hurt us because we have each other. That's my interpretation of that without knowing any of the backstory.
Yeah. And you never know, Like sometimes, you know, I see like people see couples, they're like, what the hell are they doing together? You know, or what's that guy, you know, but you never know what goes on with two people when it's just them, you know what I mean? Or what they really have. And I think that's, you know, there's so much more that goes on that the outside world doesn't know or see. And, you know, that's what's awesome about finding a good person. But anyways.
Well, that sounds like a good place to wrap up our first song.
And then we go to Steve's song.
Yeah. You know, here on Songs for Friends, we're all about balance. Typically, when we have kind of a heavy first half, we will go just full-on ridiculous second half.
And you normally do pick the more ridiculous songs, but that's okay.
I'm a more ridiculous person, so that's very on-brand for me.
Yes, you very much are.
All right, this is from 1995. It is I Wish by Skee-Lo. As far as I know, this was Skee-Lo's only album. I did not look it up to see if he's got some extensive underground discography that has eluded me. Looking at the content here, I doubt it.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Now, I picked this song because it randomly came up on my shuffle the day that we recorded last time, as I was bravely fighting the Ebola virus, those of you who may remember.
Are you all better now, right?
I'm at like 98% right now.
Oh, good Lord. Okay.
Yes. I'm not yet got the stem cell treatments or the blood transfusions.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I'm on the wait list for new mucous membranes.
Yes. I know you probably do zero of the things I suggested, but you'll feel better eventually. 98% is pretty good.
Can confirm. But back when this song came out in 1995, I was a spry 13-year-old finding my way in the world. And I was a 13-year-old who didn't have a lot. You know, my parents were poor. They were all kind of fucked up on drugs most of the time. So I didn't have a lot of like the name brand trendy stuff. And I was kind of a goofy looking kid, as many 13-year-olds are. Kind of that in-between phase. I hadn't quite figured my shit together or figured my shit out yet. So, yeah, there was a lot of wishing. Like, I saw the stuff that other people had that I did not, and there were many things that I wanted. So I related to this song on a very visceral level. So, yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah.
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call her. Yeah, that was my number one. Girls were not looking at 13-year-old Steve at all.
To be fair, I don't think a lot of people at that age are like... Well, maybe they are. I don't know. I wasn't still into boys yet when I was 13. I mean, I was still scared or whatever.
Now, you just said you're in love with the man who grew up to be the biggest drug dealer.
I didn't say I was in love. I was in eighth grade. So was that 13?
Yes.
Okay. That's true. I was trying to make you feel better.
My goodness.
I'm just saying, okay. But he didn't know that. He didn't know that I was looking at him.
You're admiring him from afar.
We were science lab partners, you know. No, I was like, I would never have wanted him to know that. So, I mean, even if I was looking at someone, they wouldn't be aware at that age because I was awkward about that. So,
yo, I will put her whole name out there. I was really into this girl named Kelly Calhoun.
My goodness. Whoa.
Yeah, first and last names. I haven't talked to this woman in like 20 years. So.
Hopefully, she's probably married now, so it's like we're not gonna, you know.
Yeah, we were Facebook friends for a little bit. She had a different last name, and she seemed happy. But she was the first girl that I was like really into that was like nice to me and somewhat flirty. But you know, because it was the first time that happened, I didn't like know how to proceed with that information.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, we're just gonna be best friends because that's all I know how to do now.
Yeah, and then you get stuck there.
Can confirm. Yeah, it was rough.
That's okay.
Yeah, such is life.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says some nonsense here. I wish I had a rabbit and a hat with a bat and a 6'4 Impala. So I guess he wanted to do magic tricks and have big cars.
Yeah. But I remember singing this song like that. I don't fucking know what that was, but I just thought it was a cool song.
Now, at the time in rap, the 64 Chevy Impala was like the most referenced car for some reason. I don't know why. It was like the status icon of its day.
Yeah.
It says, I wish I was like 6'9" so I could get with Lyoshi, because she don't know me, but Yoshi's really fine. You know, I see her all the time, everywhere I go, and even in my dreams, I can scheme a ways to make her mine.
Aw.
So again, this is that whole knowing you don't have a chance with somebody, but daydreaming about it. I was big time on this middle school and into high school. I was a very, I can't even think of the word, infatuated young man.
Mm-hmm.
I started to say lustful, but I knew that wasn't correct.
Stalker? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
No. Well, I think that's normal at that age. You daydream about, you know, someone you're attracted to, but you don't even know what it means. You're just like, they're cute. If I could walk around school, hold their hand. What were your daydreams?
Pretty much like how cool it would be if this person wanted to spend time with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then we go on with, let's see. And even in my dreams, I can scheme a way to make her mine. Cause I know she's living fat. Her boyfriend's tall and he plays ball. So how am I going to compete with that? Cause when it comes to playing basketball, I'm always last to be picked. And in some cases never picked at all. So this is super relatable to me. Like I didn't become like athletic until I was an adult. Which is just the biggest damn rib of all time.
That is crazy.
Yeah, like I was average height, but I was real skinny.
Yeah.
And just kind of uncoordinated. Yeah, those skills didn't come to me until I was like 22 for some reason. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do with this now?
Yeah. It's not going to do me any good. Like, you could go join the Y and be
exactly. That's what I was going to say. I'm going to go to the Y and be like the rec league champion.
There are people living that life, Steve. You can get in on it.
My headband on and my Larry Bird fucking knee-high socks with the stripes on them.
Yeah. No. It is the tall thing is a thing, you know? I mean, there is a lot of people that have that. I don't know. My oldest brother's not super tall, but my other two brothers are, you know, 6'3". And it's like my dad was 6'3". And so like I always thought most men were tall, you know what I mean? That I was like, oh, I'm start like, cause I started getting taller than guys when I was like in sixth grade, but then they start growing. But I think I know a lot of guys that were like my, you know, or they're 5'6", 5'7", 5'8". They're like, want to be taller. You know, I think that's a very common, that's sad.
Yeah. And it sucks being on the other end of that. When the girl you're longing for, her boyfriend is tall. And you're still waiting for your girl's fur to kick in.
Oh, was the cowboy tall? Oh, no, that was high school.
No, he was not. He was shorter than me.
Oh.
But he was a fucking cowboy who dipped. And
that's disgusting.
Tucked his t-shirt into his jeans like a motherfucker.
No, that's a no.
Yeah, who
no
does that?
No tucking in. No, I'm never. Don't tuck in your t-shirt.
Tuck jeans into his cowboy boots. He was a fucking regular Hank Hill.
That is the worst look.
That's why it bothered me. Because I'm like, all right, everything about this dude is wrong.
Like, yeah. Those guys come in the bank and I'm like, please leave. No, I'm just kidding. But it's not. That's a bad look.
Like, if the next dude is some super good looking, cool guy, I'm like, all right, yeah, I get it. Whatever. Like,
yeah.
No, this motherfucker looks like Woody from Toy Story. Like, no. Yeah. Like, it sucks taking an L to Woody from Toy Story.
Yeah. But was he cool? Did you know him?
I knew him. He was not
cool.
Was he
funny?
He drove a truck that was primer gray. Not actually painted, primer.
I gotcha, yeah.
And like I said, super country. No.
Well, I was just thinking maybe he was funny because that can take you far with the ladies, but guess not.
True, but nobody in our circle, with few exceptions, was funnier than me. I can say that with confidence.
I believe you.
Kelly's like, please just move on.
No, I believe you because I think you're very funny.
So clearly.
That's a compliment, but I was like, I believe you because you're witty and you're funny. So.
All right, moving on. Because when it comes to playing basketball, I'm always last to be picked, and in some cases never picked at all. So I just lean up on the wall or sit up in the bleachers with the rest of the girls who came to watch their man ball.
Oh.
So not only is he picked, but he's riding bitch here, sitting on the bench with the girls.
And you know what's crazy? That he went. Like, you think he'd just be like, fuck that, I ain't going. Like,
no, because Skilo has heart, damn it. He knows that his moment's going to come eventually.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So
Dad, y'all, I never understood black, white, why the jocks get the fly girls and me, I get the hood rats. So I was like, all right, I can get girls, but they're going to be the scratch and dent selection.
Stop it.
I tell them scat, skit, skibobble. Got hit with a bottle and put in the hospital for talking that mess.
Oh my gosh.
So he's rejecting ugly girls and they're kicking his ass.
Dead right now. Oh shit.
You know, sometimes you got to know the level that you're at. You know, it's cool to aim high, but realistically, you know, we're not all going to date, Rihanna. You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
Yeah, absolutely. Any guy I know that has never come off of that, like, I only date chicks that can maybe be a supermodel and they have to be this, this, and that, have actually probably been single the majority of their life because they have a standard that they can't, you know, they can't attain, you know, they can't get that. So that's mean. I shouldn't say that, but
no, it's accurate.
I have a lot of guys I've grown up with that I've seen that over the years. So
yeah, you got to know your level that you're playing on. All right. I confess it's a shame when you're living in a city that's the size of a box and nobody knows your name.
Oh.
Yeah, this is a story of my life up through about 10th grade. Just not, you know, picked on and, like, abused and bullied and shit for the most part. Because, one, you know, a couple times people tried and I could fight so people would see that. And, you know, that shit would stop real quick. But this, you know, not just being popular, but like literally nobody knowing who you are. I was sitting in the back of a quiet kid, had like four friends, and that's it. Like nobody other than that circle knows I exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I found that very relatable at 13 years old.
Well, and you know, hey, there's something to be said to have like four really good friends and a bunch of friends that, you know, this is odd, but like my little brother was a year younger than me, but he was extremely like, he was just talented. He was very athletic and everybody knew him. So it was like, you know, when I was in eighth grade, he was in seventh and he was like a superstar athlete. So like everybody knew who I was because of him, you know, and it was just like weird, but they weren't my friends, you know. It's just like it's just a strange thing. And like when he was in ninth grade, he was on like varsity football, you know what I mean? So it was like it was like he was very popular and I was like, I don't want to be a part of that, you know. But he had popular friends. That was his life. I didn't have those friends, but they all knew me, you know, just because of him. So but he was younger than me, so it's kind of weird. So
well, as we've established in the past, your brother was tall and handsome as hell.
I know, he helped my life. Just kidding.
Now this friend's
I'd have been fine.
Now this friend's thing kind of ties in with the previous point of knowing kind of your station in life. Especially at that point in my life, 7th grade, 12 years old. I made a bunch of friends at the beginning of the year, but through just sheer dumb luck and happenstance, they all moved away like in the first 6 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
So I had to start from scratch, you know, in October, you know, by that time everybody's established and in their routine. And then 8th grade, I kind of went in thinking of myself higher than what I was. I'm like, I'm not going to talk to those fucking kids.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then so I was just like alone at the beginning. I'm like, all right, I'm going to talk to the nerds. Like, these are my people. I need to quit fighting it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's that rule applies to friendships as well as romantic partners.
This is true. This is true. That's hard. I feel bad. I think about that because I lived in the same house my whole life too, and I think that's the other reason why I never had to like make friends, I guess, because you know my parents moved in my house the summer I think before I started kindergarten or something like that, and I lived there till I graduated. So I mean, I knew so many people for my whole life, even if we weren't really like friends. It was like I wouldn't be alone if I was in a class. I was like, oh, I had first grade with you. And it was like, oh, we could sit by each other. You know what I mean? Like, so that's a lot different. I feel like, did you move a lot or no?
No. You were the same? What happened was, I'm glad you mentioned that. My middle school had a system in place that wasn't spoken about out loud, but it was very obvious looking back what they were doing. We were grouped together, and the kids who like had the best chance to succeed in life were put together, but they would put a few outliers in there too to not make it so obvious. So in sixth grade, I was with the group that was to be successful. Like there's like 90 of us split among three classes. And then seventh grade, I was chosen to be one of the outliers. So I was put in with the fucking Dangerous Minds kids.
Oh.
And you know,
my goodness.
Yeah, these were called houses. And that house, like they actually voted for their name and they picked the most wanted.
Oh my gosh. What grade was this?
Seventh grade.
Holy fuck.
And then when in eighth grade, I was moved back to the good track. And they were called the pace setters.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it was like going away to prison for a year.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I didn't like, I would have never realized it myself until I saw the lack of resources given to the most wanted group. Like the other, like the other group got to go on all these great field trips that we just didn't get to go in. And it was in a ridiculously high amount of minorities in that class.
Uh-huh.
Like you can just tell that the school system, or at least the administrators of that school, like had a, I'm trying to think of what the right word is here, like a checklist in mind of who they wanted to give the resources to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was like the discrimination from the highest level was definitely a real thing.
That's crazy. Well, here, and I don't know, this probably sounds quite opposite, but in San Angelo, the lower income schools actually get more resources. Like their schools will have like smart TVs and like tablets, and it's like a, so I think it might be based on the income of the parents and then the funding that that elementary will get. You know what I mean? Like my sister-in-law taught at a low income school, and it was like they had things that my daughter's school does not. And I just thought that was kind of interesting in the classrooms and things they don't have at Zoe's school. So I don't know what that's, and it's maybe it's just, that's interesting.
All right. Well, moving on from the discriminatory nature of the Jefferson County public school system.
Well,
at least as it existed in the 90s.
I'm sure it's still there. I mean, that's just, you know, that's, it's still alive. That's all kinds of, that's a whole nother show.
Yes. Confirmed. All right. Glad I came to my senses. Like quick got sick to my stomach, overcome with my thoughts. I mean, her together, right? So when I asked her out, she said I wasn't her type. So he moved in on this knowing that he was going to lose.
Oh.
And went on anyway. I commend him for the bravery it took to do that.
Absolutely.
13-year-old
this
Steve.
This is why I can never be mean to a guy that tries to ask, because that's a big deal.
You just said that out loud on the podcast, and your DMs are going to be fucking full
That's not happen. No, I'm saying if somebody takes the time. I'm talking about then. I mean, now I'm a grown up. But you know, I don't want to be mean to somebody. This is coming out wrong. Just go on.
Some guy's sitting at home, pacing back and forth. Man, the Kelly's really cute. I was wondering if she'd be into me. I think it's time. And then he listens to Songs for Friends episode 20. Just looking for a clue. Got himself all worked into a shoot. And he says, you know, I'm never nice, or I'm never mean to people who shoot their shot. That's it. I'm going in, baby. Let's see what happens.
No reason to be mean. Yeah, it would be rude if it was. It would depend. You're terrible.
All right, guys, if you're listening and you do go through with this plan, please CC me on this just because I want to see how this goes.
Oh, stop it. You're the worst. Do not encourage people.
The worst.
Not really.
I won't even deny that. All right. So he says, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. Wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6'4" Impala. So then he goes into, I wish I had a brand new car. So far, I got this hatchback. And everywhere I go, you know, I get laughed at. And when I'm in my car, I'm laid back. I got an 8-track and a spare tire in the back seat, but that's flat.
That's awesome.
My first car did not have an 8-track, but it did have only an AM radio.
Oh.
Like, I would push a button and the whole dial would shift 3 inches.
Mm-hmm.
It was something.
How old were you when you got your first car?
I was 18.
You were 18?
Well, the first car I bought with my own money, I was 18.
Oh, okay. You had a car before that?
Yes, I had a Monte Carlo that it was passed down from my parents that I wrecked on Christmas Eve of 2000.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I ended up without a car for about 3 or 4 months and then bought this Chevy Cavalier for $600.
Dang.
It was a 1986 Chevy in 2001 is when I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, not the fanciest car. But
considering
I did no maintenance on it at all, it lasted me for about 3 years.
Hey, that's pretty cool. No, yeah, my first car, I don't even care. It was a 1989 Ford Tempo. I fucking love that car. I was so glad. Like, I don't even care. My dad came home with it. It was like, I bought you a car. And I was like, I don't even care what it is. I'm going to drive that thing. And I love that. I mean, I was so awesome to have my own car. But my dad's deal was like, you could get a car. He would buy you a car when you graduated. But when I say buy you a car, I mean, like, not, you know, like I said, 1989, you know, it was an older car. But my older brothers are pissed because I got mine early. Like, I got mine before. My oldest brother got his when he graduated. My second oldest brother decided to drop out his senior year. So my dad was like, nope. And then I got mine before my senior year. So they were like,
well, damn.
Oh, but I made straight A's, like, went to school. I only had to go to 3 classes my senior year. So my dad's like, I can't come pick you up every day. You know what I mean? So he got me the car because it was like my parents couldn't come pick me up. So it was more of a, yeah, pretty big deal, though. I loved it. But I went to a rich kid school. So, like, I should have been embarrassed in my car probably, but I wasn't. I don't fucking care. Because there were kids driving, like, Mercedes and new trucks and BMWs, and I was like pulling him with us. Like, I don't care because I had a car. I thought it was the best thing in the world. So
that's all you need at that age.
Yeah. Nikki and I would our girlfriends and I would just like ditch school sometimes though and just like drive our cars like like up a mountain and just take the day and come back. We just love doing, you know, it's the good old days.
All right, so then he says, and do you want to know what's really whack? See, I can't even get a date, so what you think of that?
Oh.
Heard that prom night is a bomb night with the hood rats you can hold tight, but really, though. He's still stuck on this this idea that he's stuck with the lesser of his options here.
Well, he needs to make some changes in his life so he can increase the number, you know, his woman, what's the word, the pool of women that was available to him.
That's it. Well, in my car, I can't even get a hello. So many people want to cruise Crenshaw on Sunday. One day I might have to get in my car and go. A lot of his music in general, I did have this album back then. I got it for Christmas 95. And a lot of his songs are really, they rely heavily on references to the local Crenshaw, California culture.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I take the 110 to the 105. That's the interstate system there. Get off of Crenshaw, tell my homies to look alive, because it's hard to survive when you're living in the concrete jungle and these girls keep passing me by. She looks fly. She looks fly. Makes me say my, my, my. It all comes back to his inability to get a woman.
Yeah.
Like, he's focused on this. Maybe that's why he stopped making music. Maybe he had his first hit, and he got himself a girlfriend, and he settled down and was happy forever after that.
Maybe he found the love of his life after he wrote this song, and they're still married.
Maybe he got a little taller.
You can't fix that.
Or maybe he became a baller. I don't know.
You know what I still like about this, though? He kind of seems optimistic to me, even though he's like, hey. And that is, like, very, like, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's what drew me to the song back then. It's like, all right, the guy knows he's down on his luck. He knows the system's working against him. But he's going to keep on plugging away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there we
That's
go.
That's pretty awesome.
Then we go into the last verse. Just, hey, I wish I had my way because every day would be a Friday and you could even speed on the highway. You know what? I don't have a platinum recording contract. I do that every day, guys. You can do it too.
They don't speed in San Angelo. They like to go like 5 under, 10 under.
I would play ghetto games, name my kids ghetto names, like Little Mookie, Big Al, Lorraine.
Oh.
You know, Mookie is like more of a mainstream name now. I've heard of multiple people named Mookie now.
I've never heard that. Ever.
You're not familiar with the great Atlanta Hawk, Mookie Blaylock?
Yeah, oh, well, I guess I have heard that, but Big Al is like a radio guy here. You know, like, okay, but okay.
So you know that's on the reel, so if you're down on your luck, you should know just how I feel. Because if you don't want me around, I go simple, I go easy, I go greyhound. Like, you know, if you don't want me around, fine, just tell me. You know, I'll go away.
Yeah.
I don't give
a
fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
They just kind of fades out of, hey, you, what's that sound? Everybody, look what's going down. Yes, ain't that fresh? Everybody wants to get down like that. Again, kind of ending on an optimistic note.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I'm reading here that it says he's married to his wife, Stacy, and has 2 kids. I bet that's what happened.
Perhaps. Skilo, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Email us, man. We'd love to have you on.
I want to know, is he happy? Maybe that's all he really wanted.
Now,
that's awesome.
This song came out in 95. There were a couple singles off this album. And then I saw him again on some MTV special about Schoolhouse Rock, like around 98. And then I haven't seen anything about Skilo since 1998. So, yeah.
Yeah, when you brought this up, I was like, I know that song. I know that song. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got questions for this man. Like, what happened?
Yeah. What's going on?
So, Kelly, is there anything, or no, wait, I get ahead of myself here. we are done with our songs for this week, so now we will pick our songs for next week. Kelly went first this week, so next time we will start with my song, which is from 2006. I am going with Not Ready to Make Nice by the Dixie Chicks.
Steve. That's my fucking pick. Now I have to think of
are you serious?
I swear to God. I swear. I was just like, you know how I'm like 80 and I play Bunko on Tuesdays? Yes, people, you should know this. And they were playing. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm excited because that was my pick.
All right. I'll tell you what.
Okay. No, that's okay. I can pick something else.
I do have a backup if you don't.
Oh my gosh, I was just kind of shocked a little bit. Okay, we're going to go to my list. Hold on. Whew, that's got me kind of excited about that. Okay, we are going to do, we'll do a Nirvana song. It's on my list. We're going to do On a Plane.
Nirvana on a Plane.
Yes.
So like, never mind. I'll save it for the show.
You'll save it for the show. Okay.
Yes. All right, Kelly, anything you want to plug?
You could just follow me on Twitter, Instagram at KelGene17.
All right, guys, you can follow me at Songs with Steve on Twitter. Follow the show proper at PTBN_songs. Email us, Skilo, PTBNSongsWithFriends@gmail.com. I'm looking forward to opening that email from Skilo to tell me what he's been up to for 21 years.
Yes, we want to know.
All right. For Kelly, this is Steve. I will try not to pick Kelly's song again next time. We'll see you then.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place Me Nation's Justin Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceMeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on 2 great feeds. On the Place Me Nation Wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Survey Says, Wrestling War Zone, a Monday Night Wars podcast retrospective, No Holds Barred, Jeff Learns Wrestling, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. On top of that, we're also dipping into the vault, re-releasing the entire catalog of Where the Big Boys Play for your enjoyment. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is loaded with great content, offering such tremendous shows covering the land of pop culture, such as Geek and Sassy, Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Sunday Groove, PTBN Play, Freak Out Drive-In, Songs with Friends, Looking Forward, Looking Back, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Conversation Comics, DC Post-Crisis Management, Marvel Age, and Marvel Age Masterclass. plus weekly pod blasts that cover the gamut of comic topics. The feed is also filled with insightful sports content, including the NBA team, This Week in the NFL, and more.
And you can find all these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaySpeedNation.com. We cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaySpeedNation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.